Title of the message today, Youth and FOMO. Don't miss out. Our text is in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to read the first two verses together, and then I will, if you can see it. Let's begin. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Holy God, we do pray that you will be with the preaching of thy word. Fill us with thy spirit, Lord. God, unless you build the house, unless you give the increase, Lord, we labor in vain. The watchmen watch in vain, and I preach in vain. And I do ask, God, that you would water, that you would plow, that you would give the increase, and we thank you for it, Lord. And God, thank you for this holy Bible that you preserve through the blood of thy martyrs. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. You may be seated. I want to look over the words of this text briefly as we concentrate primarily on verse 1 today of this chapter. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Those of you who have youth, and you're always going to be a little younger than you will be tomorrow. It says, in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not. Evil sometimes doesn't refer to moral evil. It refers to hard times. But we know there's evil days coming to this world regardless. The whole world lieth in wickedness right now, and there's evil times coming when the Antichrist will reign. But he's talking about old age here. When the years draw nigh, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened. There's a time when they will fall from the sky. But there is, in old age, they are darkened to you as you behold them, meaning your eyesight and that type of thing. Nor the clouds return after the rain. And poetically, he's going to go on to describe your elderly years. When the Bible says we should rejoice always. Rejoice always. And it doesn't mean that you're not to rejoice in the Lord. It means that in your youth, it is a special time when you ought to take hold of God in a special way to prepare for those days. He says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Most take that to be your backbone, your bones, the keepers of the house. The strong men shall bow themselves, your bones. The grinders cease because they are few. What are the grinders? That's your teeth. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. That refers to your eyes. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. That means you're easily startled. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. The hearing, the eyesight, the bones. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high. You don't want to fall. And fear shall be in the way. You don't want to trip. And the almond tree shall flourish, meaning the gray hair, the white hair. And the grasshopper shall be a burden, easily startled. And desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. We'll talk about this in a little more detail later. You get the point. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth before you begin to lose your eyes. You begin to lose your hearing. You begin to lose the ability to walk, and et cetera, et cetera. Basically, it's saying before you go to the grave, serve God before you end up in a place where you can't serve Him anymore. In one sense, when your body's lying in the grave, you certainly can't serve Him with body, soul, and spirit until the resurrection. So what does it mean to remember thy Creator? It means to get saved, obviously. Believe in the Lord. Have faith in Him in your Christian walk. Acknowledge Him in all things. Love Him. Fear Him. Rejoice in Him, but with trembling. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He's going to tell you the conclusion of the whole matter in just a few verses. So we might as well jump down to the conclusion, because we know that's what He means by remember thy Creator. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. That's of the whole book, and certainly of this chapter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So God is telling you, do not waste your youth, because you're going to pay for it. Do not waste your youth by thinking you are free to live to yourself, because God's going to bring you into judgment for how you lived as a young person. God's going to basically hold you accountable. And you know, it's a blessing, because it says whether it be good or whether it be evil. He's going to reward you for the good you do while you're young. He's going to reward you for that. And He's going to reward you for the evil that you have done. So always remember that while you're young. You're going to pay a price. You're sowing now. A lot of people are sowing wild oats. They're sowing things they should not be sowing. And you're going to reap way more than you ever realized. I tell you what you sow, you're going to reap. We ought to serve God while you're young. You ought to recognize God while you're young. You ought to pray with your parents. You ought to pray in your families. You ought to pray by, you ought to talk to God, and you ought to talk to Him regularly. He ought to be a part of your life. He ought to be who you cast your cares upon. You ought to have a relationship with God. God tells us in Numbers that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. That's for every season of your life, certainly for your youth. You ought to remember God's commandments. You ought to read the Bible so you'll know them. You ought to go to church and listen and not fall asleep. You ought to spend time in God's Word and around God's people. But you have to remember. You have to remember His commandments. That's very important. Why does it say that you ought to remember your Creator? Why didn't He say, remember God, thy God? Well, we don't know exactly, but the idea of a Creator, it's very important that you begin at a young age to understand you were made. You are created. You didn't evolve. No wonder they, in public schools, they want to fill you full of the idea that you evolved and you didn't have a Creator. See, there's something special about you knowing that you're not an accident. You were created. Your soul, your spirit were formed by God and put in a body, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And He tells us in Psalms 100, serve the Lord with gladness, with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. This is what we're doing today. You ought to do it in your personal life, but you ought to do it in corporate worship with the body. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Boy, it'd be a wonderful thing if you as a young person would realize you don't own yourself. You're not in charge. You're not the master of your destiny. You're like a sheep out here in the pasture of a shepherd. You ought to do what He says you do. And whether you drink or eat or survive, it's going to be based upon Him. In other words, you got to learn to live in a relationship with your Creator. You didn't make yourself. You don't own yourself. What do you mean? What does God want me to do? That's what's important. And if you can get a hold of that as a young man, remember your Creator. As a young lady, God created you. He created you. And you know what? You can tell the world that. You could tell Satan that. Whoever tempts you, you could say, you know what? I owe him my allegiance. He made me. I didn't make myself. He made me. Therefore, I owe him everything. And praise God, there's a new birth. There's first creation, then there's second creation. You owe God for both of them. Amen? He not only created you, but then he gave you the new creation in Christ and saved you, redeemed you, forgave you of your sins. Wow, we owe him everything. What a duty we have. You're bought with a price. God owns you. You are created for his pleasure, not your own. And you know what? When you live for his pleasure, that is when you finally find your pleasure. But it won't work any other way. God made it where it won't work. This whole thing's been programmed and set up. You are made for one purpose, to glorify God and bring him pleasure. You were created for his pleasure. And as long as you get that straight, you will find your pleasure. But if you want to say, I'm my own God, I'm going to be a sheep and I'm going to get out of here away from the pasture and I'm going to go do what I want to do, you're going to pay a big price for it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You will not be a happy person. God can't lie. It's been designed this way. You will not be happy. I tell you, we should remember God in our youth, and he gives us the reason. He gives us the reason. Do it now before harder days come in old age. You know, it'd be terrible to end up in your elderly years without God, wouldn't it? It'd be terrible to end up knowing that you're about to go to the grave without God. Oh, I tell you. You know, there's a sense where it can be harder to change as you grow old. If you can't stand now, what makes you think you'll be able to do so later? Jeremiah says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how can thou contend with horses? So many people say, well, I'll serve God later. You can't serve God now. If you can't serve God now, what makes you think that you'll have a tender heart later? God praises young men because their heart was tender toward God. You think your heart's going to be tender later? See, what people do is they gamble. You 16-year-old, you 17-year-old, you 18-year-old. See, you want to gamble. You want to say, I think I'll have time. I think I'll have time to change. I think I'll have time to repent. I know one fella that I baptized, went out to the lake, started partying, skiing. As he was skiing, he hit a log in the water, broke his neck instantly. He's dead now. You think you have time. You think you have time. I could tell you story after story after story. You don't know who's going to be here next week. You don't know whose funeral you'll be going to. What do you mean you know you'll have time? What if the Lord comes out of the sky and catches you in sin? Boy, that's a risky gamble. And then how do you know you will have the repentance needed in the future? If you get out here and mess with sin and get hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, what makes you think that you're going to want to repent? What a terrible gamble that is. Oh, what a dangerous gamble there is. Hey, I'm telling you, there is no certainty of a future. And you certainly aren't guaranteed that you're going to have the light to repent later. It can get harder later. As Clark tells us, there is little time left, so there is generally less inclination to call upon the Lord. Evil habits are strengthened by long continuance, and every desire and appetite in the soul is a stronghold for Satan. The heart is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So you got to remember God. You got to remember your Creator now. now. Remember your Creator now while your heart is soft and moldable and meek and the clay can be fashioned. Remember God now before those habits set in and it becomes part of your character. Oh God. If you think a habit's hard to break, what about a character? What about when that thing's been cemented in and welded to your personality? Oh, you're still required to change regardless of how much suffering. But it's going to come with a lot of breaking and a lot of suffering. And you're going to say, oh, had I obeyed God and got some godly habits while I was young. Oh, had I wish I would have learned these things when I was young. See, you are to remember your Creator in your youth for the same reason that you're to remember Him when you prosper and things go well. You owe it to God to be grateful, to not be puffed up in pride. See, when you get money in your pocket and you get a good job, not everybody, praise God, not everybody, but a lot of people, they always think about what they're going to do when they get some money and they get some prosperity. But what happens is people just bring their lifestyle up to their present money. See? So they're still in the same situation. God still gets whatever He was going to get, which a lot of times He doesn't get anything. And the church doesn't get anything. And what happens is you change. You just grow with your money and you get puffed up in pride. Self-confidence. My hand has done this. And you begin to look down on others and forget all the grace and mercy that God's had towards you. So just as your prosperity can delude you, so can youth. Because, you know, youth is pretty much synonymous with a type of prosperity, isn't it? It's a time when you've got your strength. You've got your energy. And instead of giving that to God, you want to go out and serve self and the world. Isn't that sad not to give the first fruits to God? Think of what you could have done when you had the energy to do it. Think of what you could have done for God. The souls saved, the people discipled, the ministries, the things that you could have participated in and built for God. The people you could have helped strengthen for God. Boy, Paul loved a young Timothy, didn't he? Oh boy, how he needed a Titus and a Timothy. And you read Romans about those sisters in the Lord that Paul praised and he needed. Oh, I tell you what, Paul the aged, what could you have done for God? Instead, you live for self. And I tell you what, anything you live for yourself, you're not going to have anything to show for it other than shame and destruction. I'm going to tell you something. Just as prosperity can delude you, so can youth delude you. How does prosperity delude you? Prosperity deludes you because it whispers to you, you're great, you're strong and smart and wise and responsible, and this money will be here forever. You know what youth does? Same thing. Says, you're young, you're invincible, you can never die, nobody can stop you. You've got all this energy and strength. It makes you think you'll always be young. It makes you think, it goes so quick. You just blink your eye and it's gone. Another decade, gone. So many people have woken up and found out not only has their youth gone, their prosperity is gone. The prosperity of the nation is gone. Solomon says, prosperity like youth is vanity. Why is it vanity? Because it tricks you. It tricks you. It whispers, you're God. And if it doesn't get that blatant with you, it certainly puffs you up with self-confidence. I don't need God. You know what's strange? The Bible said in the last days, it'll be like Laodicea. They'll be rich and in need of nothing. Lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Heady, high-minded, boasters, naked but not knowing how naked they are. No shame. He says in Deuteronomy, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. So that's what God wants. See, when you're young and you have your strength and you have your energy, bless God with it. Amen. That's what you're commanded to do. I tell you what, when God brings you to a place of prosperity in your life, bless God with it. But beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. This happens to individuals, it happens to countries, see. It happens to countries. They rise up and get prosperity, then they forget God. Beware, every nation that forgets God is going to be turned into hell. Oh, I tell you, and so will you, friend. So will you. He says in verse 14, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Then thy heart be lifted up, and now forget the Lord thy God. Why do you forget him? Because you got your youth. You don't need God, do you? Oh, you really do. You need God to move. You need God to take another breath. You need God for your heart to beat one more beat. You need God every second. God is holding every atom, whatever you want to call it. He's holding everything together and upholding all things right now. You need God to move. You need God to live. You need God to build and do anything. And you need His mercy, because He's seen everything that you've done. And he's seen what you've done with all the things he's given you. Ooh, we need mercy. And thy heart be lifted up, and now forget thy God, the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And thou shalt say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar said that? He was even warned by Daniel. And all of a sudden he says, look at this kingdom, mighty Babylon, that I have built. And I'll tell you what, God humbled him. God humbled him. He became like an animal. He was eating straw like a cow. And I tell you, God humbled him. God humbled him. And God can humble you. God can humble you, young person. God humbled me as a young person. And if you think he's not going to humble you, you've got another thing coming. You've got something else coming. God will humble you. And anybody out here that's prospering and you think your power has done it and you've forgotten God, I tell you what, God will humble you. God will humble you. You won't be so high and mighty next time. I'm talking to us all here in America, because we're all prosperous in some way here in America, are we not? But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them, like the god of pleasure, the god of money, the god of self, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Hey, young man, don't let your youth delude you. You need God. You owe everything to God. You owe every breath. And you know, it's not merely a duty, but all godly duties will get you blessed in the process. Yes, it's a duty. You have a duty to serve God in your youth. But I'm going to tell you something. You get blessed when you serve God 100-fold. You don't give up anything that you don't receive 100-fold in this life and in the world to come. That's just because God's so merciful and good, isn't he? So, just like we saw in the last chapter, Solomon is saying, why would you be full of sorrow? See, Solomon doesn't look at it this way, as if you're giving up something to serve God. You're going to miss something to serve God. See, he doesn't look at it that way. Well, in one way he does, but not in the way the world thinks. See, you are going to miss something. You're going to miss joy. That's what Solomon's saying. He says, remember, you've got rough times coming. You've got old age and the grave coming. Why don't you get a hold of God now and enjoy life? What Solomon's saying is you're not going to enjoy life any other way but with God. He wants you to be happy. So Solomon's saying, why won't you be happy? Remember the Creator now so you can be happy as a young lady, as a young man. Remove sorrow from your heart. We saw last week, if you want sorrow, look at the wine. That'll give you sorrow. You want sorrow? Be wicked. You want sorrow? Go the way of Cain. You want sorrow? Just follow sin. Forget God and you'll have sorrow. He even tells you, you forget God, you forget His commandments, He'll add sorrow to your heart. So there's all these curses. So Solomon said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why would you let Satan steal your joy? Why would you let him rob your time? The Bible says there's no peace to the wicked. So you say, I just want to go be wicked. Well, you're not going to have any peace. Why don't you live a life as a young person with peace, with joy? You know why? Because the broad way looks like it promises peace. But the narrow way says that's not going to be any fun. But when you take the narrow way, you start looking, wow, this thing was made to walk on. Wow. But you take the broad way, buddy, you find yourself on a cliff. Oh, I tell you what, you find yourself headed for destruction really, really quick. He said, I thought this was going to be the easy way. They always think the way that seems right to a man, but it's the way of death. It's the way of death. See, there's this way of responding to God's chastisement and correction, and it doesn't seem like it's going to bring joy. It seems like if you get around strong preaching, if you go to the wise, if you listen to your parents, if you listen to your pastor, it seems like that's not the fun way. That's not going to lead to joy. No, it doesn't seem joyous, but it works joy. It works peace. The Bible says it brings forth the peaceable fruit of holiness. Wow, and that brings contentment, which is great gain. Oh, that brings discipline. That brings maturity. That brings the ability to love and be loyal. Oh, well, I tell you, isn't that a wonderful thing? That you could go get married because you were a good person, you live righteously, so now you can survive a marriage. You know what contentment, you know what peace means, you know what contentment means, you know what loyalty means, you know what keeping a covenant means, because you learn how to do that as a young person. You learn how to resist temptation as a young person, so you can now resist it when it matters. Oh, it matters in the first fruits of your life, but it really matters in your marriage, folks. It matters when you have children and you've got so much riding, because now, I tell you what, the older you get, the more influence you have in many ways. And I'm telling you, you don't want to arrive at an older age without these things having been worked in you. As a youth, we know last week it says Proverbs 13, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. We saw Cain, God says, you know what? If you'll just do right, you'll be accepted. You need favor with your parents. You need favor with your pastor. You need favor, most of all, with God. And the Bible's saying that that's when you don't have favor, you don't have happiness. I tell you. And you're going to have a hard life. You're going to have a hard life. Live in such a way that your life will be easy compared to what it would be if you were wicked. Now, listen, you could serve God in your later years, if God permits, if you're alive and you're willing. Anna, she was very, very aged, but she served God night and day with prayers and fastings. Oh, we want you to serve God in your first fruits. In the main harvest and in the gleanings of your life, never stop serving God. Amen. Give Him everything. Give Him everything. But listen to me. There will be things you cannot do. There will be things you cannot do when you're older. See? So there's another reason you ought to serve God while you're young. So you can use your strength for God. And the things that you can do now that you won't be able to do then, you can do. Why miss your opportunity? Why miss your opportunity? You could do a lot when you get older, but there's things you can't do. You young people can do some things. You can do some things. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Invest in the things of God now. And I believe he's saying, if you don't do it, you're going to miss some great pleasures and some great opportunities that you could have had. You know, at the beginning of this message, you saw FOMO, youth and FOMO. That's not homo, that's FOMO. What is FOMO? It sounds like the wife of Momo. You know, when you think about it, FOMO, it's just as ugly as that in one sense, because I'm going to tell you something. It means fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. See, young people are plagued, especially today, that they fear if they give their life to God, they're going to miss out. I'm going to be on the outside. I'm going to miss something. And I'm getting older, and the world might end, and we might be at war, and everything's going to fall apart. I might miss out. And it's a paralyzing fear. It brings anxiety. It brings a desperation. I'm going to tell you else what it brings. It brings a bitterness. When you ought to have love and gratitude towards your pastor, towards your parents, and toward the good people in your life that are trying to help you, you end up with resentment and bitterness. There might be some young people in this room right now that have deep anger and wrath and resentment in their heart. And you know the only reason that you're full of wrath and resentment? Because you think your daddy kept you back from some fun times. You think this church and these brethren kept you back from a good time. And you've been held back, and you can't wait for that moment when you can escape so you can go have a good time that everybody's been keeping you back from, because you've been missing out. Let me ask you something. You are going to miss out, but not on what you think. If you continue to let the devil whisper that in your ear, you are going to miss out. You're going to spend your whole time grumbling and bitter and slothful and resentful and always full of anxiety, wanting what they have over there in the world. I wonder what those kids have. And you're going to spend your whole youth when you could have had joy unspeakable. You could have had a time when you could have got involved and plugged in and invested, and you could have served God and made the most of your youth. But instead, you allowed Satan to steal it from you. And that's all he wants to do. Oh man, you ought to have a fear of missing out. You really ought to have a fear of missing out. But God's not the liar. Satan is. God doesn't come to steal and destroy. Satan does. God's not your enemy unless you make him your enemy. Satan's your enemy. Satan's the one that hates God. It's this world out here that lies in wickedness, in the spirit of Satan, the god of this world. Satan hates you. And you will miss out. If you continue to listen to the devil like Eve did, you will miss out. Right now is your time to learn to live with accountability while young. To learn to say, you know what, this is for my own good, even though it hurts. It doesn't seem joyous, but I'm learning discipline right now. And oh, that's going to be a blessing to you. To learn that faithfulness. To learn to be loyal. To learn to be committed to something while you're young and moldable. Oh, that's going to follow you. All the discipline that you learn, all the commitment, all the graces that become, all the virtues that become part of your life while you're young, they're going to follow you. They're going to follow you. And you're going to be able to build upon them in an amazing way. What a blessing. What a blessing. Don't you let the devil, you better fear that you're missing out on some character molding, some character building. You better fear that you're missing out on learning how to love, because nobody knows how to love anymore. The love of many have waxed cold. They'll kill their own babies. They'll have children and just throw them away. Their marriages, they throw away for nothing. They walk away from relationships, from family, from church, and most of all from God, because they're upset at God for something, because they didn't get their spoiled way. Or God's doing something that they don't understand. At least Job says, shall I not receive good and evil? There's obviously a reason for what God's doing. People have a problem with commitment today. And let me ask you something. If you can't love man who you can see? How can you love God who you can't see? So if you concentrate on loving God now when you're young, loving man will be easy compared to that. I tell you what, you concentrate. God, you can't see him. You got to walk by faith. You got to get in the Word. You got to see him in providence. You got to see him. And I tell you what, if you learn to love God, the invisible, he will help you learn how to love everybody as you get older. You will have a habit of it. You will know how to do it. You'll know how to be a committed wife. You'll know how to be a committed husband. See, people, they're missing their training period, aren't they? And they're entering into adulthood. Oh, I can't wait to go out here and do what? You're not even trained for adulthood. You wasted it. The whole time you were getting lessons, you were asleep because you stayed up all night playing video games. You were asleep in church. You didn't really care. When you got behind the church with somebody you could whisper to, you said, boy, I'm going to get out of here the first chance I get. You know what I mean? You know why? Because you live for self, and in many ways, you're a punk. You don't like that kind of preaching, do you? But I'm telling you, we need to learn to live for our Creator because He loves you, and He has so much for you. You think you're missing out. Yeah, you're missing out. You're missing out on learning self-control. You're missing out on learning how to be content. Yeah, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on freedom. So what do you mean miss out on freedom? I can't wait to get away from my daddy. I can't wait to get away from my church. I can't wait to get away from fundamental Christianity. Why? Has not look not at the wine served you well? How many of you young homeschoolers have had a hangover yet? How many of you have come home and wrecked your car and ran over somebody that was pregnant and killed their little baby because you were drunk? How many of you have gone out and not even know what you did last night and have a venereal disease or some horrible thing that you caught? How many of you ended up pregnant yet because you were drunk and you don't even know who the daddy is? Oh, I suffered as a homeschool fundamentalist. Looking not at the wine. You've been saved from the curses of sin. You've been saved from the consequences of sin because somebody loved you and they preached it to you. The Bible says in Psalms 119, I will walk at liberty. I will walk at liberty for I seek thy precepts. That's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. You tell me that's not Old Testament and New Testament. That means that book's there for you. Those rules are there for your blessing so you can be free, free from sin. Because if you make provision for the flesh and feed it, if you get out here and look at the wine and you get around bad people and you don't separate all those things that people that are not fundamentalist hate. Oh, they say that you shouldn't watch this movie. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. And you know what happens? You get out here and do it. Guess what? Your teeth rot out when you eat junk. You understand that? Your teeth rot out. And when you do it morally, guess what? Your soul begins to rot. And you desire sin. And you desire it more. And you want more sin. And all of a sudden, you're becoming a very, very terrible person. A very terrible person. And the devil wants you to live like an animal. Solomon's not trying to cause you to miss out on something good. Solomon is afraid you're going to miss out on something good. Solomon was put here and he tested God and he proved God, and there's nobody that was able to do what Solomon did. And with the wisdom that God gave him, he experimented in everything and he found out it was all vanity. He says, only one thing, fearing God and keeping his commandments. That's it. That's it. All these other philosophies, all these other things, building and fun and laughter. Solomon says, oh yeah, I tried that. I tried that. It doesn't bring happiness. The only thing that brings happiness is to make God happy. That's the only thing that brings God, only thing that brings you happiness. There's not a fella in here or sister that's trying to cause one of these young people to miss something. You're so confused. You are so confused as a young person. If you're listening to this sermon, you're so confused. Nobody's trying to get you to miss anything. We're trying to keep you from missing out on life. The reason people get up here and give the testimonies they do, the reason they stand up, the reason I preach the way I preach is so you won't miss anything. Because the devil, we have competition. There are Marxists and Satanists and wicked people that are trying to flood the internet, flood social media, flood Hollywood, flood the public school systems, and they have control of it. And we're seeing now they have control in a lot more than you ever thought they had control of. And people are waking up for the first time and says, enemies have come over here and they have control of our nation. Friend, they've had control of it for a long, long time, beyond anything you could ever imagine. And see, since we've got these enemies and they're always telling you, hey, you're going to miss out unless you follow me. Hey. They're trying to breed discontent. They're trying to spawn discontent in your life. And all I'm trying to do, I'm trying to combat in what little way I can. But hey, we got the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm trying to use that rock of God's word, the hammer of God's word. And I'm trying to break through that delusion. And the best thing you can do is separate from the whispers of Satan. Get away from the serpent. Don't talk to him. Don't listen to him because he's going to lie to you. Going to lie to you. He's going to tell you you're missing out. Just like he told those women in the 1950s, you're here with your children, making brownies, living this life. You're missing out on the great careers. Wouldn't it be wonderful? And then they went and followed Satan, and they got out there, and they ended up with no grandchildren. They ended up with no children. And they ended up late in life upset. They ended up upset, you know what? And they had separated from godly people. They had separated from where God says, if you're part of a church, he's going to fill you with mothers and fathers and children and blessings, whether he opens your womb or not. And we do pray God will bless everybody. I'm telling you, folks, don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal. You've got everything backwards. There was a rich man who went to hell. He had a lot of regrets. And in hell, he sat there with all his regrets, and he didn't want his brethren to come to the place that he was at. If y'all can turn that heater off for me, if it's still on. There was a man in Psalm 73, and he was about to backslide. But he said, I can't do it. Why was he going to backslide? He said, because I'm living this Christian life. I'm living this life for God. And it's hard. I'm living this life for God. And it's hard. And I'm sacrificing. And everybody else out there is prospering and enjoying God. I'm the one that's plagued every day while they get to go have fun. Praise God, that fellow didn't have Facebook where the devil could really do a work on him, amen? He was just able to look around the corner sometimes and see, well, they look like they're having fun to me. And he was about to turn his back on God. He was almost out of the church. But you know what caught him? He said, what kind of example is that going to be to God's children? What kind of example is that going to be for the young folk? And it was too painful. Oh, I pray, sister, it'll be too painful for you. I pray, some of you fellows, it'll be, some of you young people, it'll be too painful for you to think what you're going to do to little brother when you go chase the world. What you're going to do to one of these sisters or brothers in this church? Not to mention all the unsaved that are watching you and all the carnal. You know, we ought to take advantage of prosperity. Do you remember when Joseph had those dreams and he interpreted for Pharaoh? He was an interpreter. And he was able to show that there's going to be some prosperous years and then there's some bad times coming. And what did Joseph say to do? Take the prosperity and set some back and prepare for the future. Because it's not always going to be prosperous. I'm just applying that to you right now. Don't waste your youth. Bring forth fruit and take advantage of your youth. Make your youth count for God because it's going to get harder from here on out. It gets harder. Save your purity. Save your honor and your testimony. Save it for harder times that are coming. Redeem the time. Make the most of it. Wise men came to see Jesus as a child. They were not magicians, nor did they see the Lord as a baby in the manger. But since they had copies of the book of Daniel and were studying the scriptures wherever they were at, somebody had preached to them, somebody had showed them the prophecies of Daniel, and they knew and they believed that the Messiah would come, and they knew from Daniel 9 exactly when he would be here. So they came to Israel to look for the child, to bring gifts. They brought three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I believe you see the king, the prophet, and the priest. Most prophets end up martyred, do they not? But all the gifts were fitting for a king. Now, gold is still highly valued. I mean, gold is sought after. People want gold. They understand the value of gold. But there's only one good thing, and I say good in quotation marks, there's only one good thing that's come out of the medical mafia, Big Pharma. And that is the average person in the world no longer understands true medicine. Now, that's not good in an ultimate sense. Please don't get me wrong. It's good only in the sense that frankincense and myrrh don't cost as much as gold right now. See? There's a window of opportunity because there's such lack of knowledge all over the world that there's gold out there. You say, well, that's kind of expensive. You have no idea how expensive it should be. You pay $10, $15, you have no idea how expensive it should be. You should have a big old thing of gold, and that frankincense is worth that or more. Many are suffering due to this terrible misunderstanding, and that's not good. But the fact that there's such a lack of wisdom about the value of things such as frankincense and myrrh and turmeric and olive leaf and cinnamon means that although these things can seem expensive, it's nothing compared to how costly they would be when people finally understand their value. And they're awakening. They're awakening. They're awakening. I would tell every person, and I do, if I were you, I would go home, repent of my sins, if I had them, and we all do to some degree. Ask God for healing, whatever you need healing in. And I would take frankincense, I would take myrrh, and I would take olive leaf every day. And I do. I do. If you're not doing this, if I were you, I would. And if I didn't feel better, I would take more amounts of it, if I were you. That's where I would start for almost anything. See, why not take advantage of the fact that these things are still unsung, unrealized treasures? Brother Mike Berzins has found online for us a really good source. It's called Royal Frankincense. And you can get organic frankincense and myrrh at those links. Send me an email or I'll try to send these out as notes for you. Royal Frankincense and myrrh. I want you to understand something. There's coming a time soon. We'll see in a moment that olive leaf and grape juice are going to skyrocket in price. I don't know if you've noticed. I've been watching it because I've understood this prophecy since I've been saved. And I've been watching the price of olive oil go up, up, up. And I've been watching the bottles get smaller, smaller, smaller. And I've been watching grape juice go up, up, up in price. And I'm going to tell you something. the scientific research behind olive oil and grape juice, it's continuing. It's continuing. There are studies right now showing that you drink a little bit of olive oil every day, it goes through and removes the trash of your brain. Incredible. Incredible. Frankincense and myrrh can regulate TH2 cells. That's what happens during allergic reactions. They can even inhibit anaphylactic shock and reaction. They're great for stress management physically, but they relieve stress without dulling your mind. Those are only a few of the amazing properties of these gums. They're anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer. They aid in stomach, lung, and oral health, and much more. I want you to take a look at something real quick, and we'll get back to the point. Here's from Molecules, 2019. Their common pharmacological effects are anti-inflammatory. This is frankincense and myrrh. They are anti-cancer. More interestingly, in traditional Chinese medicine, frankincense and myrrh, listen, have been combined as drug pairs in the same prescription for thousands of years. They brought gold, but they brought frankincense and myrrh together. Why is that? Because they're both absolutely incredible and worth silver and gold beyond measure. You put them together, and it becomes a powerhouse like you would not believe. After the combination of frankincense and myrrh forms a blend, a series of changes takes place in their chemical composition. Wow. And the emergence of new chemical components. Just put them together. Oh, they're already incredible. Put them together, and a new creation is formed. At the same time, the pharmacological effects of the combination seem magically powerful. Now, we know they're not magically powerful. It's because we have a creator, amen? Such as synergistic anti-inflammation, synergistic anti-cancer, synergistic all of these other things, antibacterial, blood activation, and so on. What am I trying to tell you, folks? I'm trying to tell you that God has given us wisdom in this day and age. And the secrets of the Lord are with those that fear Him. And God is giving us the opportunity now, while these things are not skyrocketing, for you to go collect them and buy them and have them in your house and prepare for what's coming. Because there's going to be more pestilence, more disease, and right now people are dying. There's the frankincense tree. There's myrrh, thorny bush. Hey, look at this, Revelation 6. This is the tribulation period when it begins, or in the midst of it. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, that's a day's wages, and three measures of barley for a penny. You got to work all day just to get a little bit of flour. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The Bible's saying that olive oil and grape juice are going to skyrocket to such a degree that they will be luxuries. They'll be something that you can't touch. Just like if you had gold, say, no, don't touch that. Or jewelry, don't drop that. Don't lose it. It's going to be protected. It's going to be protected. You better go out and get some olive oil. You better invest in it. You better get olive oil stored, because you have no idea yet. You haven't even fathomed what olive oil does for you. And for your brain, and for your body. In the middle of the tribulation period, it says in Revelation 18, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. What are they going to be selling in the middle of the tribulation period like crazy? Cinnamon, frankincense, grape juice, and olive oil. You say, well, nobody hardly knows yet. Oh, they're going to find out about it. And that internet is spreading the value of frankincense. They're breaking through the chains of Big Pharma. And just right now, watching what they did with COVID and how they hide drugs and all the medical manipulation, it's opened up people's eyes like never before to say, you know what? This is all fake news. We can't trust what these people say. So everybody, a lot of people are gathering their own information, and pretty soon all that's controlled. More and more, it's going to be off, and you're not going to be able to find it. But nevertheless, it's spreading and knowledge is increasing. So I'm telling you right now, just as you invest in your youth, take advantage of this opportunity before this is in the middle of the tribulation period and start investing in these things before they skyrocket. And it does cost hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars just to get a little bit of it. Just to get a little bit of it. Prosperity tempts you to have self-focus. In the Bible, they had a little bit of prosperity. And instead of building God's house, they were building their own houses. And God said, send the prophet to them. And the prophet came and says, how come it's okay for you to dwell in your sealed houses? You got that looking nice? Says God, that's really good. All of you folks, you got it looking real nice at home. But my house lies waste. It's a familiar pattern. Praise God for the exceptions. I've seen in many, many years of pastoring, I've seen when people begin to prosper, a lot of times they withhold giving. They withhold working for the Lord. It's just a pattern. It's just a pattern. And we got to do everything we can. And it all relates back to you as a young person. Don't withhold your youth from God. Don't say, I'll give. I'll give my life, but not while I'm young and I can go serve myself. Well, why wouldn't you give that to God? Why wouldn't you give your prosperous years to God? Why are you going to go live for yourself? And then once it's all over and you come back limping and destroyed, then you say, okay, now I'll serve God. Praise God. Come back and serve God with your fullness because you need prayer warriors. Amen, we got to have prayer warriors. Some of the greatest revivals were spread because there was an elderly lady somewhere pouring her heart out for God while the preacher preached. Youth is vanity. I felt invincible. I was a young man with an electric guitar. Boy, I felt invincible. I felt I could do whatever I wanted, do anything I wanted to do. I had followers. But then I had a bad car wreck, as you know, and I realized I wasn't invincible. I realized, God, you could have took my life. And my childhood friend that I was showing off in front of, he could be lame right now and crippled because of my stupidity. But you preserved his life and you preserved my life. Wow. And then God let me see how evil I had become. And how Satan had taken me further than I ever wanted to go. And how horrible it was. And I looked all around me, even before I got saved, and I didn't laugh at the movies. I said, that's sick. This is sick. Everything is sick. I went back to my band, and I wrote a song called Free the Virgin. I've told you that before. And they all looked at me like, you're crazy. They go, what does this even mean? I says, I think they're the right ones. I think the kids that are withholding and doing right and waiting on God and waiting on marriage are the right ones, and everybody's out mocking them. Why are you mocking them? Why are you making fun of them when they are the right ones? They looked at me like, that's pretty crazy, Joey. That's pretty crazy. But I said, you know what? It is what it is. So my eyes were opening. I was learning to be confident in God and not my own self. Oh, I tell you. You think all things are going to continue as they are, as they were. You think the Lord's going to delay His coming, thus you don't have any fear in God. How do parents increase this whole mindset? The Bible says children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. But if you're not a mighty man, if you're a man that just lets the culture steal your children without a fight, they're not going to grow up and be strong. And in fact, many men, they're not only not protecting their children, they're throwing their children into the world. They're not your friend out there, folks. They do not want your children to turn out right. Why would you facilitate and enable Satan? I'll never understand that. But the Bible says, children in the hand of a mighty man turn out strong. Modern research is abounding with new insight on the connection between the brain and the belly. Even though Big Pharma is trying to hide it, it's nothing new to Solomon or the Bible. They call it a second brain. It's all throughout Proverbs, Song of Solomon. God knew about it all the time. He designed it. But there's something yet they don't know that I'm going to tell you right now. They'll find out soon enough. What you do or don't do in regard to the hind end is going to affect what happens in that belly and brain. You don't believe me? I mean, you withhold correction from a child on his hind end, and their brain will be affected. The formation of their brain is affected. It's amazing. Watch this. Proverbs 20, the blueness of a wound cleanses away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. See, you got a second brain and a first brain. But what they don't realize is you've got a control valve. You've got a control knob, so to speak. And whatever happens in that belly in regard to those emotions and everything else is based upon stripes. Where do stripes go? I'm not telling you to literally bring forth permanent stripes or something, but I'm telling you that the rod, as he says here in Proverbs 29, the rod and reproof give what? Wisdom. That's not in your hand, friend. That's up there in your brain. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I'm telling you that what you do back here affects the formation of the brain. And many people are ending up with undeveloped kids. And they leave home and they've got warped brains, undeveloped brains. They're not mature. So we got to put away the hippie marijuana stuff and we got to start nurturing some brains. You know, ships, the Bible says, are turned by a very small helm, that big mighty ship. And that big boy, the decisions of that brain, whether it forms or not, can be controlled. It says in James 3, behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. See. Any little child can be made to obey if there's a governor. That little tail. What a difference it makes. So now you understand what's happening in our culture. The Bible says a city without magistrates is left to themselves and becomes careless. What about a child without a magistrate? What about a child without a governor? Oh, what a miserable child he becomes. You got many saved out of the world, not raised in church. Many of you sitting right here, I can name some of your names. You went through a hard time in your 20s or maybe in your teens. But you're here now with God. And your temptation is going to be to look back and be mindful of that country that you were taken out of. And you might have opportunity to return. You sit here and remember, boy, remember when it was in the world, those garlic and onions? Now, garlic and onions are good, but sometimes you fabricate and Satan will delude you about how good it was being in the world. They were crying out to God in their bondage, and so were you, or you wouldn't be here right now. The world was horrible, depressing. People were evil and satanic. And you were being led further and further and further into sin and darkness and vomit. And oh, how good it was to get out of that. So the devil, all he can do is try to get you to remember a fake reality about what it was like before you were saved. See? Now, you youth, many in this church and listening to this sermon in other churches and homes around America and around the world, you've been raised in church. Many have been homeschooled. The devil doesn't have any personal experience. You've all sinned, but you haven't gone out and felt a full degree of consequences that many others have felt. So to you, it's still delightful out there. So what the devil has to do, he has an easier time putting a fake reality before you to say, look how fun this is. See, when some of these older adults, they say, yeah, don't believe that. That's a lie from hell. Oh, don't believe that. That's not what alcohol brings you. That's not what all this wickedness and unseemly things. If you think that's what it brings you, oh, pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, it's a very, very small season if it's ever. Don't make too much of that verse. Trust me. When it says pleasure, trust Solomon. He says it's vanity. It's all vanity. And you'll find out. God forbid, I hope you never do. But I'm telling you this, what the devil's going to do, instead of having a fake experience, I'm sorry, instead of trying to remind you of memories and put delusions, he has an easier time just telling you, listen, don't trust this brother. Don't trust the preacher. Don't trust any of these other fellows that have been out in the world. They're lying to you. Or here's what you're going to do. This is what happens over and over. Young men and sisters, they say, well, you just didn't know how to handle it, but I'll be able to handle it. See, I'm sorry it didn't work out for you, but it'll work out for me. Boy, the devil has an easy time because you're proud and you've got self-confidence. And you think you'll be able to handle it. And you'll be able to have the best of both worlds, as the wicked rock song says. See, you're not going to have the best of both worlds. You're not. You're not. It's all a lie from Satan. See, Eve was in that kind of same position, wasn't she? She never knew sin. And every one of you are a sinner, so you're not exactly like Eve, but Eve was made to perfection, and Eve had never known death and destruction. So the devil had a time of like, you know what, he's just holding out on you. That rule that you have, if you will just go taste and partake of this tree, then you will be experienced and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Think of the pleasures you're going to have that they're trying to keep you from. That church is trying to keep you from it. And that's what a homeschool person is like in many ways. If they're separated the way they ought to be and they're raised right, they're like Eve in that garden, and all the devil has to do is somehow or another get behind that daddy's back and get contact with those kids. And sometimes, whether it's on the internet or whether it's some other kid somewhere or somewhere where they're looking where they ought not be looking, the devil can whisper and he begin to say, just talk to me. And that's where Eve made her mistake. Because the devil even came and let Eve be the authority. Hath God said? Why don't you teach me? Is it really wrong to drink alcohol? What if you just don't go to two extremes, you know? Just get out here and have a good time in the world. Just don't be in extremes. And why don't you talk to me about it? And so many young people like Eve begin to talk to the devil. And the devil turns them against their daddy and against the church and against their pastor and against fundamentalism and says, go be experienced. Go have fun. He makes it beautiful. In school, they'll glorify pagan cultures that the Bible says are damnable. They just dug up the Aztecs and found out that there were women and babies that had been sacrificed to that false god, tortured and beheaded, just millions of them. That's what they did. They just sat around sacrificing and killing babies and children. Wow. Don't you glorify. You look at the millions of dead babies, and that's the world. That's the world. That's the world out here, folks. That's what America's become. Just a bunch of Aztecs. Right. Or maybe you think it's an adult trick. You're just trying to trick me. You're just trying to control me. You know it's really fun out there, but you're just trying to trick us. I don't know what these parents that teach the kids about Santa Claus end up doing. Because then the kid wakes up and says, so you were tricking me all that time. What else are you going to trick me about, you know? You're probably tricking me about the world out here. Let me tell you something, kids. I pray you'll believe me, and I pray you'll believe all these adults that have learned the hard way. But there's one thing that you have that you can be sure of. It's not going to lie. It says in 2 Peter, we have also a what? A more sure word. A more sure word of prophecy. That's the whole Bible. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. What did God say? What did God say? He said, serve me now while you're young. Sin is horrible. Sin is horrible. Now these things were written. There are examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. He says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. They're ignorant of the fact that God destroyed the world before. He destroyed it under Noah. He destroyed Sodom. He destroyed Pompeii. He destroyed the Roman Empire. And he's in the destroying business, folks, if you get out of line. Because every nation that doesn't fear God and serve him is going to be turned into hell. And he's done it to cities. He's done it all throughout. And for you to look at this world and look at history and not understand this, you have to be willingly ignorant of it. You have to be willingly blind. If you think sin prospers, why don't you read your Bible and see all of the, if you don't believe me when I say you better fear God because he doesn't put up and you've got way more knowledge than I had. Every one of you kids right now have way more knowledge than I walked away from to go see if I could serve the world a little bit and then come back to God. Imagine what God will do to you. And don't try God. Don't tempt God. Learn from Dinah. She was raised right. She was homeschooled. She had standards. But she went out to see the daughters of the land and she got caught and raped. Oh, but the world was so loving. He said, but I love her and I want to marry her. And I'm telling you, that's what the world's like. See, the world wants to destroy you and trash you. But it tells you, I love you. I want to give you fun. It's a perverted thing. The Bible says, love not the world. It's just like when that girl grew up, it says in Ezekiel, thou did trust in thy own beauty. See, she never lived in sin, not in a full way that many do. But all of a sudden, she looked at how beautiful she was, and she became proud, and then she began to play the harlot because of thy renown, and pours out thy fornications on everyone that passed by, his it was. See, a lot of homeschool kids can grow up and become proud. See, they become proud. They're not suffering the way some others are. They have some anxieties and they think they're suffering, but a lot of times they're just proud. I think I know what's best for myself. And that leads you into sin, see. Because the Bible said, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge God, see. Trust God with all your heart. We got some bitter folks. We've already talked about the psalmist. He says, verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain. Any of you homeschool kids listening to this sermon around the world or even right here in this church, do you feel like you have separated in vain? You've stayed away from movies and a whole bunch of sin and gross things. And do you feel like you've done it in vain? For all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. I think he's exaggerating here, but he just feels like it. He feels like God just wants to continue to be hard with him while he lets everybody else out there have a good time. Is that how you feel in your youth? Do you feel you've been separated and you've been given standards and you have commandments and you feel like it's all been in vain and God's been unfair to you? Oh, Jesus says, if you're not offended in me, you're going to be blessed. But I'm going to tell you, young person, right now, the one thing the devil can do is cause you to get offended and resentful with God, just like he did with Eve. He turned Eve against her father. And that's what the devil wants to do to you right now. See, the devil wants you to get offended with God. Well, I served him, and look, he didn't do what I wanted. He didn't give me any fun. Oh, God help you. God help you. I want you to have a good time. I want you to have a good time. They say FOMO means a state of mental or emotional strain caused by the fear of missing out, a form of social anxiety, a compulsive concern that one might miss an opportunity or a satisfying event, often aroused by posts that you see on social media. You know, it's in the psychological manual now. They put it in the Oxford English Dictionary in 2013. FOMO. FOMO. It means getting on Facebook and seeing people living their life, making you have anxiety that you're missing out. You're missing out. It's even worse for a fundamental homeschool Christian. Because they, okay, I can get on Facebook. Oh, great. Oh, then you got all these other people that aren't living according to your standards, and you get to look at them, and they're going to put their little smiles and the little fake life, and you say, oh, but I know they're having a good time. I know they are, and I know I'm not. And now you're bitter, and you're upset. And the devil's got a hold of you because he's putting your light out. He's stifling what you could be for God if you put aside that bitterness. He's getting rid of the joy that you really could be having. I want you to remember, sin has consequences, and the reaping is always bigger than the small seed. See, those of us have been around a little bit, we've seen it. We're able to say, yeah, he looks like he's happy now. Just watch. Just watch. See, you don't have the history. Now, some of you do. But you've been willingly ignorant of it. You've seen person after person after person. Look at them now. Look at them now. Look at them now. So see, you've seen it. But there's something about the devil. He can just cause you, if you let him, to just be deluded about all that. I want you to understand the reaping is always bigger than the seed sown. So whatever you think that freedom is to go out and do it, you're going to pay a big, big price for it. And you know the most horrible thing? 30 years after, when you think you should be done paying, you're still reaping the consequences of that stupidity. Isn't that a horrible thing? Isn't that hard? God's forgiven you if you confessed it, but isn't it sad that you're still reaping consequences for what you did? I want you to know that FOMO is spawned and manipulated propaganda. There's people that want to destroy this country, and they want to destroy families. And they definitely want to destroy fundamental churches. Number three, I want you to know your body and soul belong to God. So what you're asking to be able to do is live in a fantasy world. You're asking to live in a fantasy world. That's what you're basically saying. I want to pretend that there's no rules, no standards, and little foxes don't destroy the vines, and looking at the wine doesn't bring addiction. And I need you to also realize God doesn't want you to live a boring life. You got to learn obedience, learn contentment. Lamentations says it's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth, also for a young lady. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. There's a time as a young person when you're going to feel alone because that's part of God's work in you. You understand that? A lot of times you make yourself alone because you're sitting around moping instead of getting involved with the people that you should be getting involved with. But there is a certain cross that you have to bear because God's training you. And you're feeling the Holy Spirit working on you because He's going to make you a glorious wife. He's going to make you an awesome, strong husband one day. He's going to use you as a great missionary or somebody to help inside churches bring great revival and help. God has plans for you and He's chiseling away at you while you're young and you got to let Him do it. It's good to bear the yoke in your youth. God's got a reason. So keep silent about it. Quit getting on Facebook and whining to other people, stirring them up and vexing them up. Quit calling other people and moping. Quit getting away when you get one of these young fellas in your car with you or whatever and start moping about things and griping about things. Because what you're doing is you're not bearing it in silence and you're spreading discontent all over the camp. And nobody needs that. Praise God for old Miss Deborah before she passed away. She'd tell you, oh, bless your heart. That's all you got from her. That was your sympathy. She'll listen to you for about 15 minutes, and then she'll say, well, bless your heart, and then you know what's coming. Because what's coming next is she's going to tell you what you need to do right now. See, people don't need to hear all this moping stuff. If somebody's moping like that, and you think you're being such a friend to them, probably what's going on is you've got the same little discontent attitude going on. And so when you get birds of a feather flocking together, all kinds of mess happens. I tell you, Lord, help us, man. Woo, help us, Lord. Here's another problem you got. He who has not gone under wholesome restraint in youth will never make a useful man, a good man, nor a happy man. 2 Corinthians says, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Wow. I don't know if God ever showed Paul Facebook. But you talk about measuring yourself by somebody else. Kids just sit around all day. Wives sit around many times. They want to look at that social media and they look at what somebody else's life is and they get discontented and they measure themselves by themselves. They stir each other up. And I tell you, it's just rebellion is what it is in many of these situations. Yeah, I'm upset about it. They say this FOMO happened on college campuses such as Harvard after 9/11. They said when 9/11 happened that young people just started thinking, oh man, this world's going to end. So I've got to live it up right now. Epicureans. I got to eat, drink, and party. I got to experience everything because we're going to die. We're going to die. Look at 9/11. This is horrible. And you know what they did? They watched them. They watched them. And they'd go to a party, and they're on their phone, and they're not talking to anybody. They're just sitting over there on their phone. Hey, I found a better party. We're missing out. We're missing out. And they'll we got to go. We got to go. And they get in the car. They get over there. And they sit over there in a little corner, and they're on their little phone, not talking to nobody. And they're looking. Oh, man, somebody just posted there's a better one down the road. And you know what? They've got such anxiety, such burden, they never live life anywhere. Folks, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Solomon is trying to tell you right now, you're going to miss out on life. You're going to miss out if you let the devil just convince you that you're not having a good time. Why don't you go have a good time in the Lord, amen? Why don't you go help somebody? Why don't you go get involved in something? Pour yourself into the now. Serve God. Remember your Creator now. Live in the now right now. Enjoy the now. And quit always looking for something else over your shoulder. I've showed you the grass is greener by the septic tank. It always is. And that's why the devil wants you to go over there and hang out by the septic tank. I tell you what, the devil wants you inside the septic tank, my friend. And if you don't believe me, you just listen to some testimonies around here. It's true. You end up burned out. You know what happened to these college kids? They ended up burned out. I don't want to do anything. Just give me a psych drug or something because I'm just burned out. I've missed everything. Yeah, because you're too busy chasing it. Amen. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which takes away the life of the owners thereof. What is that other than I want more out of life? I want more out of life. So did Eve, and it took away her life. So do many homeschool kids, and I give you testimonies right now. They couldn't wait to jump ship. They couldn't wait to go dive over there in the world. And you know what? It took their life away. It took their life away. And I've seen them over and over and over. And I've told you again and again, probably every few sermons, I've had the phone call with people who have jumped ship and called me up at the end of their battle before they die and said, you know what? Those were the happiest days of my life. I said, that's really sad because you walked around quite miserable when you were here. But if these were the happiest days, you're telling me when you left this church and were able to get out in the world and do whatever you want with no rules, no mean Pastor Joey, I tell you what, no strong preaching. You're able to do whatever you wanted to do, and you're telling me that that being in church under my preaching was the happiest days that you've ever lived in your life? I'm telling you right now, God knows that I'm telling you the truth. That happened. That happened. But see, I wonder if we're just going to believe it. Why do we turn that off? Why do we dismiss that? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Let's read a couple more verses and close. Thank you for your patience today. I just got something to say today. It's so important. It's so important. 2 Peter, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Where's your liberty, drunk? Where's your liberty? You couldn't survive your marriage without going out here and wanting to wander off. Where's your liberty? You're a slave to sin. And you want to make me free? What freedom do you want to bring me? No, just read on. The Bible says they want to put you in the same vomit and mud hole they're in. You were clean. How did they get you to leave your cleanliness and get in the mud hole? They say, oh, you're clean. That's sad. You're in such bondage being clean. Get out here in the mud where it's fun, you know. Then you're a slave. You're a slave to the mud. You're a slave to the corruption. Now you're a drunkard and you're an alcoholic. You're a slave to it. One day I'm going to make that fall down, Matt. I'm glad that you put it up there real good for us, brother. I got to understand, that's not the pulpit that I can hit. Okay, look at this one. Psalms 34. Oh, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, you saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And why is the next phrase, come ye children? Why is that? Because God knows what the devil is going to make you feel like. He knows Psalm 73 is in the Bible. He knows the devil's game. We're not ignorant of his devices. So he's telling you, I promise you, says God, that they that seek Him shall not want or lack any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Why do we want fear? Because it's going to make you strong and bold and really protect your joy. Protect your joy. Unless you just sit around with your arms crossed and say, I'm not going to fear God. That's just miserable. You know, blah, blah, and just whine. What man is he that desires life? And that's what you kids desire. That's what you teenagers desire. You desire life. I want to live it up, man. And I want you to live it up. I want you to live it up more than any other children in the nation. I want you to live it up the right way. But he that desires life and loveth many days, that he may see good, keep your tongue from evil. Get away from rebellion. And don't you dare utter murmuring and rebellion. Don't you cause anybody else to stumble. And thy lips from speaking guile. Well, it doesn't pay to serve God. That's guile. That's deceit. You ought to wash your mouth out with soap. Organic soap, you know. Speaking guile. Depart from evil. Well, what's God ever done for me? Oh man, that's just taking away your joy. That's taking away your joy. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. And he says he's going to bring you the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Righteousness, if you'll just obey. God wants you to be happy, friend. He says if you'll separate, touch not the unclean thing, He'll be your God, and He'll come close to you like never before. But if you haven't separated in your heart, if you're still walking around being miserable, saying, well, here, God, you got me, but I'm not glad about it. I'm going to be a homeschooled kid, and I'm going to separate, and I guess I'll just suffer while everybody else has a good time, and I'll just walk around. What type? Is that a cheerful giver? What type of sacrifice? That's a lame sacrifice, says Malachi. That's a blind, lame sacrifice you're offering unto God. Why don't you give him the best? Why don't you give him and say, God, you know, they said the table of the Lord is contemptible. I don't like my circumstances. I don't like my circumstances. God help you. I'm trying to let you know how you can have a good time. You need to be afraid of missing out. I tell you what, you do need to worry about FOMO, but not missing out of what Satan has for you. God forbid, you got it upside down. You better be afraid of missing out what God, because this whole time, this is probation. This is so you can qualify and be chosen for the coming thousand-year kingdom after you're saved. And you will be FOMO. You will be cast out. He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. That's the narrow one. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. You say, wait a minute. They're not trying now. They will one day. They will one day. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets. I'm glad they made it, aren't you? I'm so glad Jacob made it. Well, he had a hard time. He had to learn the hard way. He come limping back to God, didn't he? Oh, I tell you what, Jacob got revival. And he said to his children, you're going to change your garments and put away your gods. We ain't dressing like that no more. We're going to Bethel. We're going to serve God. He learned the hard way. Praise God, Jacob's going to be in the kingdom. And Abraham and Isaac and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And you yourselves thrust out. Remember that cat at the very beginning? He's on the outside looking in. Oh, I tell you, it'd be way more miserable than that poor kitty sitting in the rain. I tell you, I'm afraid of missing out. I'm afraid of missing out. Well, you're not afraid enough. You better be afraid of missing out on this. Because right. Pretty soon everything's all over and Jesus comes and sets up this kingdom. You better be afraid of missing out. If you suffer, you shall reign. If you bring forth fruit, he shall say, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. See, you got things upside down. It's through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God. This is your qualifying time. You got to qualify, folks. But you know what they say? They say, but I'm going to miss opportunities. I'm missing true community that I could have. I could have so many friends. Afraid of missing the ship. Well, you will miss the ship. You will miss the ship if you don't change that attitude. I'm trying to help you. And I'm not going to stop. As long as I got you, I'm going to keep on stressing. And you know, I've had the phone calls. One a few months back. Hey, preacher, everything you're saying is right. Everything you told me. I experienced exactly what you said I'd experience, preacher. Some come back, praise God, praise God. Some don't ever get to come back. Many people reared in God-fearing homes and taught Christian principles often believe the devil's lie. They are missing out. Yeah, indeed they are. They're missing out on a mind clouded with painful memories. They're missing out on bodies scarred with the choices they have made. They're missing out on relationships built on and broken by selfishness. They're missing out on heartache and grief caused by regrets. They're missing out on deeply ingrained habits that must be battled for the rest of their life. They're missing out on wasted hours and years, never to be regained. They're missing out on empty days and lonely nights. They're missing out on everything the world and the devil has to offer. They're missing out on a ruined life and a sad old age, says Scott Pauley. One young woman says, FOMO caused me to chase Pokemon around my neighborhood. FOMO, afraid of missing out. So I'm going to go chase whatever Pokemon is, some little devil running around. It caused me to dye my hair pink. The list could go on and on. Now they're ashamed. They look back on what FOMO did for them. I'm missing out. Let me scar myself. Let me cause myself to look like an idiot. God help us. You wouldn't believe the evil Satan wants to rub in your face. He wants to take you further than you'll ever dream of going. And he's going to leave you there further and longer than you ever wanted to stay. I was a promiscuous teen. As my past came barreling back into the forefront of my brain. And it's clear to me that the behaviors I learned in my teens never really ended. They went with me into my 20s, 30s, my marriage. What's a loving father want to save you from? That right there. See, your daddy doesn't hate you if he's a good man. He's trying to save you from that. See? What she did in her teens followed her into her 20s, 30s, and her marriage, and how I parented my daughter. It's all right there in front of me now. So talk to your daughters. Tell them that no matter what, none of it out there will lead to love. None of it will ever make boys stay. Whatever boy makes her feel pressured or uncomfortable is not a good person. That means if he's pressuring you to sin. And it is of utmost importance that your daughters hear this from you, their fathers. They can have these conversations with their mothers as well, but hearing it from the most important man in their life will make a huge impression. The thought of my daughter having to go through what I am now going through makes me want to vomit. It should upset us all, including you. I pray that you see the problem and talk to your kids. I don't have any sign or any information that she's saved. She's just talking about getting out here and living a promiscuous life. And she's not happy. She's not happy. Troubledteens.com, I don't know much about that, but I did notice they said, teach by example. Be a role model. Show your teens that you value your own body by having proper nutrition, healthy food, and exercise. And I thought about that for a second. I said, wow, isn't that really what we're trying to bring forth, a culture of life? Isn't what I'm trying to do here is bring forth a culture of life? I'm trying to show you that your body is not something to trash. So as a father, and you've got your chainsaw, you don't want something thrown inside of it or pour Coca-Cola into your chainsaw because you value your chainsaw. And we ought to value our bodies because it belongs to God. And we ought to show that don't get out here and trash your body for Satan. Don't get out here and serve the devil with your body in sin and end up with all kinds of diseases and bad things. I'm telling you, let's show that we have a culture of life, not a culture of death. And that we value our bodies and our spirits and our minds. Dear Holy Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for all that made it to the end of this sermon, Lord. Thank you for all who will listen. Thank you for any young people, Lord, that ventured to actually listen to this whole sermon, God. I thank you for them. And I pray for them specifically right now, Lord, that you'll put your spirit upon them. Help them, Lord. When they don't feel joy, when it doesn't seem right in the sense of it doesn't seem joyous, I pray, God, that you would just strengthen them and let them understand that they're training. They're going through a training period right now. I do pray, Lord, that you'll please raise up so many that'll be like Josiah in the Bible. And Lord, as a young boy and a young man and young woman, they will get a hold of you, Lord, and they will lead the way, not caring if anybody else is going along with them, but they'll be the head and not the tail, and they'll get out here and lead and show forth your glory. In Jesus' holy name, amen.